The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Many of his disciples who were listening said, "This is saying is too hard, and who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken to you were spirit and life. But there are some among you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He went on to say, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied Jesus. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" But Simon Peter answered, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. I would like to say a public word of thanks to our lectors for the diligent way in which they prepare for the proclamation of the word, and also to Steve Dormier, who is our lector coach. So thank you, makes a big difference to our room, so thank you very much. This will be the last Sunday we'll speak about the Eucharist as a primary interest in the homily. Since on next Sunday we'll leave the Gospel of John, we'll move into the Gospel of Mark. But for this month of August, we've been dealing with chapter 6 in the Gospel of John, which is a long reflection that Jesus gives on the Eucharist, since, as we know, there is no mention of the Eucharist at the Last Supper in the Gospel of John. Washing of feet in the Gospel of John, but no taking the bread and taking the wine, not in John's Gospel. So this is the theology of Eucharist given to us in the Gospel of John. And as we discussed before, the Gospel of John is very late in coming. Comes maybe about the year 80, 85, like 50 years after Jesus died, this Gospel is finally taking shape. Therefore, it has a different context, a different world, a different experience of the early communities who are followers of Jesus, according to the Gospel of John. Have you ever wondered, in the liminal examples of human experience, the special things that happen to you in your life, not the passing trivial things, but the important things that happen in your life? Have you ever paused to wonder if there is a deeper understanding of what appears at first impression? There's always a deeper understanding, a deeper teaching, but too often we don't pause long enough to really be reflective and try to catch something much deeper than appears at first glance. First glance, there may be a complaint about something that's not so good. It might be you got lucky if you won the lotto. It might be that. But is there a deeper meaning to the liminal experiences of life, things that really impact your life? Liminal coming from the Latin word for threshold, where you stop and you say, "This is it," or "I should stop and think in a deeper way."
That's part of a spiritual journey. The Buddhists have the Ajna Chakra, called the Tika. You know, that little spot here, that you'll see it on the images that appear in the Hindu tradition. It's called the third eye. It's the eye of wisdom. In the Gospels, it's the eye of faith, where Jesus says, "The words I speak to you are spirit and life." The third eye is the eye of wisdom, to look deeper. In the Hindu tradition, it's called Atika. In the Buddhist tradition, it's the eye of consciousness. Deeper, deeper understanding of what's happening. That's what appears in this gospel reading today. Jesus reveals an extraordinary statement. Jesus gives himself to the community who will listen. Some of them do not pause long enough and reflect long enough, don't have the third eye, and they walk away. And then Jesus looks at his disciples and he said, "Do you also want to leave?" And they say, "But you have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? We'll have to rely on worldly wisdom." Looking at Eucharist in John's Gospel, it is very clear, especially in John, that Jesus gives his whole self. Flesh and blood, his humanity, his divinity, the whole self of Jesus is given to us in the Eucharist. Jesus gives us his miracles. He gives us the healing of his life, the raising of the dead. He gives us the unconditional love of forgiveness and welcoming and acceptance for everyone. But Jesus also gives us his suffering. He gives us his loneliness, his sense of abandonment. His radical loneliness. In the spiritual conversation, there are three levels of loneliness that are spoken about. One is the loneliness of absence, where you miss somebody, you go off to college and you miss being at home. The second one is moral loneliness, loneliness of the soul. The third one is radical loneliness, the loneliness of ingratitude, where you are dismissed and all that you have done appears to be forgotten. Jesus gives us radical loneliness. He gives us rejection. He gives us fear. The fear of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, abandoned alone and looking at the suffering and death which is approaching. And we are told he is so overwhelmed with fear, he's traumatized with fear. His sweat became like drops of blood. Jesus gives us his fear. He also gives us his power over the world. Jesus gives us his death and his resurrection. Jesus gives us his whole life in the Eucharist. The whole person is given to us. What does this mean to us in everyday life? We receive the Eucharist here, we go back into the commerce of life. But what difference does it make? Do we understand life differently because we have shared in the whole Christ? We belong to the seasons of life. We're part of the creation of God. How do we get to weave together? with some harmony, some deeper understanding, the light, the darkness, the great days, the bad days. How do we weave together an understanding of life enlightened and transformed by the Eucharist? How do we weave together the miracles, the forgiveness, the unconditional love? How do we weave this together with the darkness and the struggles and the fears and the trials of life, the reversals of life, the abuses of life? How do we bring these together in a Eucharistic form and say, what I have to experience now is part of the whole Jesus Christ, not just the glory days, but light and darkness, the seasons of life, the dying and the rising, all belongs to the fullness of an experience of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Let me give you a small example of what I mean by this. Something from my own journey. In the last 2 weeks, I had a day and a half of extraordinary loneliness in my life. Not the loneliness of absence now, but a moral loneliness, a loneliness of the soul, a sense of isolation, a sense of darkness, a sense of a desert, being in a desert, a kind of a lost spirit in some ways, a pall that comes over life. And spiritual counsel will say, when you experience a moral loneliness in the spiritual journey, don't run, don't deny, don't try to dismiss it. Stand in the moment. Eckhart Tolle, you've all read his Power of Now. Eckhart Tolle says, don't live yesterday, don't live tomorrow. Live the moment, redeem the moment. Discover the gift of the moment. Discover the insight, the understanding of life, the understanding of other people. Stand in the moment. Read Henry Nouwen's last book, you know, an extraordinary insight into the struggles of life and how to find a harmony and a meaning in the Eucharistic presence of Jesus in the economy of life. And so I'm in darkness here for a day and a half. And when I go to prayer, the prayer is empty. It's not consoling. And I sit and write my journals. And it reminds me of the great disappointment and loneliness of Jesus when he says, I give you my whole self, and people walk away. I remembered and wrote in Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. He wept tears over the Jerusalem because they did not know the time of their visitation. He could not convert his own people. I saw the tears of Jesus, the sense of failure in Jesus that he didn't convert his own people. I saw the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, abandoned and ignored, being alone in his time of crisis. I saw that. I saw the betrayal of Jesus, the deep feeling of Jesus Christ betrayed. Denied by his best, his leader, Peter said, I don't know the man, in his time of crisis. I saw that. It reminded me to take a second look at how this Christ appears in the human experience, in every day. And I remembered I had a funeral 2 weeks ago for this wonderful woman, 61 years married. It's one of these elderly couples that just absolutely adore one another. And she went through a long illness, and her husband just took great care of her. I spent a lot of time with this couple before she died. And then I did her funeral and the husband, and I see him occasionally now. And the great loneliness that he feels in the absence of his life partner. I kind of sense that. That's the loneliness of Christ. It's the loneliness of the soul. It's not the absence of people. And I remembered and wrote into my journal a wonderful family who lost their son, a young man, to suicide in the last few weeks here at Holy Family. The devastating emptiness, the pain, the struggle. I saw that. I saw it only because I was lonely myself. I saw and remembered and wrote into my journal the young man that came to see me, and he wept tears in my office because he was gay and his family rejected him, ostracized him, banished him. And he didn't know where to go. And what was more, loneliness, it seems like a time of darkness, became a time of grace, a time of insight, a time of understanding, a time when I said, praise God for these moments of darkness, because they are moments of teaching, moments of enlightenment. And this is what it means to embrace the whole Christ. Not just the good days, but to meet Christ in the struggles, in the darkness, the times when you are carrying a burden, when life seems unjust and things don't go right, to say, but this is what it means to embrace the whole Christ, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to bring Eucharist to life. How do you live Eucharist? How do you live the fullness of Jesus Christ? Not just the glory days now, but the struggles, the pains, disappointments, rejections of life, all part of being a Eucharistic person and accepting the fullness of the Eucharist in everyday experience of life. So wherever you are in your life, my friend, take a second look. See with the third eye, the eye of faith, and know that whatever happens in light and in darkness, we are a Eucharistic people, the whole Christ. Amen.